Hello, I'm Summerland Mayor Doug Holmes. Welcome to episode 11 of the Mayor's Podcast. Today we're going to talk about organic composting and changes that have been made to curbside waste collection for most Summerland homes. We have started collecting kitchen scraps separately from garbage and using it to make high-grade organic compost. That means residents must now put their food scraps in with their yard waste in their green carts. The green carts are being collected every week, year-round, while the garbage and blue recycling carts are collected on alternating weeks. Joining me to explain the change is Cameron Bond, Environmental Services Coordinator for the District of Summerland. Cameron, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, kitchen scraps make up about one-third of all residential waste collected each week from curbside garbage bins. When this organic waste is buried at the landfill, it produces methane, a poisonous greenhouse gas more potent than carbon dioxide. In recent years, the provincial government has been tightening environmental regulations for landfills. Amongst other things, we need to deal with the methane. Some larger landfills are capturing methane and converting it to gas or electricity. But for smaller communities like Summerland, methane capture technology is too expensive. Instead, most local governments are dealing with methane emissions by diverting organic waste from their landfill and composting it. Currently, about 80% of all British Columbians have their food scraps collected separately from their garbage for the purpose of organic composting. One part of the province where it's not that common is here in the Okanagan, until now. So, Cameron, how does it all work?
Yeah, it's a really simple program in some ways because people already have their existing carts. And so what we're asking people to do is to place their food waste in with their yard waste cart. Now, we're going to change the collection times in terms of we're going to collect that green cart, the green top cart, each week. And that'll continue throughout the season. So that'll be spring, summer, fall, and winter. The change, though, will be for garbage. Garbage will now be collected every 2 weeks. So you'll see the calendar that we provided, and we've actually dropped off kitchen catchers with calendars and other materials to every home that's participating in it in Summerland. So when you get that information, you'll be able to better understand the dates when your garbage will be collected, which will be every 2 weeks. Recycling is not being affected. It's exactly the same program as before. We're asking that recycling stay clean and that if you can just place in those materials that are accepted for our collection program, we also have the depot of the landfill that can accept other plastics. And what we've seen is that from our waste composition studies we've done, and that's through both the regional district here and ones across BC, we're seeing almost 70% of the materials that go into the average garbage can in Summerland are fully compostable or fully recyclable. So where programs have done this before, like in the Lower Mainland, they've done some studies, and other places have done some studies, they found up to over 40% reduction in the amount of garbage they collect, and a significant increase in the amount of food scraps and recycling they collect. So there is the ability for people to recycle and compost more. We know that, just looking at the garbage that we're collecting today. So this program really gives people options and really incentivizes people to not put stuff in the garbage.
So that's great. The impact is huge. We know. So what sort of things, what can and cannot go into the compost?
Yeah. So for our collection program, we're looking for any kind of food scraps. And we're using the term food scraps because food waste makes it sound like someone's wasteful, and we're not saying that. But when you peel an apple or peel a potato, peel a carrot, you have peelings. Those can be composted. Apple cores can be composted. We know that already from a lot of backyard composters, and we have a lot of great backyard composting already happening in Summerland. But there's a lot of materials that are really hard to backyard compost, like your pasta, your rice, cheese, pizza, bread, even coffee grounds, even some of the food soil paper that might not break down very effectively in your backyard, like your soiled napkins from wiping your face or wiping the table with just food, or the paper filters from a coffee filter, even those really dirty and hard to clean paper plates. Those can now be placed into your yard waste container with your yard waste. So we're going to continue to collect yard waste, which is like your grass clippings, your leaves, your small sticks, pine cones, and pine needles. So when we're looking at what we can collect, we're trying to increase the amount of materials you can put into your green cart. So by doing that, we really find that these materials will compost beautifully. And this program is being done not just in BC, but around the world. So we've been, with the grants we've received from the province of British Columbia, being able to expand our composting site up at the landfill to allow us to accept this yard waste mixed with food scraps, which is great.
So I think it's probably important to say that people who do have their backyard composters, they can still continue composting in their backyard.
It's black gold. Yeah, that's gardening knows compost is black gold.
Yeah.
Please, like leaves especially, like even if you want to get your food scraps out of there, because we are in bear country. And part of our education campaign is to remind residents that stinky garbage or stinky food scraps should only be placed out on the day of collection. If you place it out the night before, you are attracting animals to your property, and that's not safe for the animals or for you. And those animals can be from rats, raccoons, and bears. Mm. So just consider where your food scraps are going. So even if you want to reduce the food scraps going in your backyard compost bin, leaves compost beautifully. That's really the majority of compost is leaves. That's where you get most of the nutrients and other things that the plants really love. Food waste adds to that, of course, but you're not going to miss out. And that black gold you're creating on your property is just excellent for your gardens.
Right. I know I backyard compost, and there are some things I just don't put in there, like you said, meat and bread. But also, you know, things like avocado skins, they just don't break down in the backyard. But I guess with our new composting facility, it's designed to control all that stuff, and it reaches really high temperatures, mm-hmm. right? So it can kill those pathogens that's found in meat and rotten food and things.
Yeah, backyard composting doesn't get warm. Like a great backyard composter is usually about 10 degrees warmer than ambient temperature. And that's great. You're doing a great job. And for leaves and those, and even uncooked fruits and vegetables, that's awesome. It'll break down no problem. But you do add pathogens to your backyard when you add in meat or bones or cooked foods even, and really strong odors and smells. What we do up at the landfill, we get up to close to 65 to 80 degrees centigrade. And we pasteurize that material. It also helps break down the materials a lot faster. So those materials like bones or avocado pits or corn cobs, they actually get cleaned in some ways in terms of there's no longer any pathogens or things that make people sick on them. But we may have to compost them more than once. Mm-hmm. And I know that because in a backyard compost bin, you're right, the avocado pits, the corn husks, I'm actually often picking them out of my black gold, my compost, and throwing it back into my compost bin. They might go through two or three times. We're going to be looking at doing that for some of the larger sticks, branches, bones, and other materials. But over time, they do break down. Any type of organic matter, as long as it's not plastics or metals or something else that doesn't break down, will break down eventually in there. It might just be a bit slower. So our whole program is designed to screen out compost, and those big materials that can be reused will then be reused within the compost again.
Right. So one of the concerns, you know, I've heard in the community, and I haven't heard too many, I think there's a lot of support for this program and what we're doing. But with garbage being collected every other week now rather than weekly, I think people do have an option for upsizing their garbage, get a larger garbage cart. Though I should note that experience from other communities suggests that most people won't require a larger garbage cart, but that is an option. But I guess what is the message to people do have concerns about garbage switching to every other week?
I'd say that's one of the big ones. I'd say animals is a big attractant. They're worried about the food waste potentially attracting animals in a different way. The other big one is, I'd say, mainly around three main issues around garbage. That would be diapers, that would be pet waste, And also what I'll always bring up is those pads that come with chicken and fish that are quite stinky and gross. Managing those materials is tough, and people that bring forward those concerns aren't wrong. But what we've found is that in other communities, they can be managed. When you look at other communities across BC, the kind of mantra you hear is pay as you throw. We have a very expensive landfill. Our landfill is not cheap to operate. Garbage is expensive. When we compost, composting is much cheaper. So when we get materials moving from the garbage to the compost side, we're saving about four times the amount of money we would spend on garbage. And then we get paid for recycling. For those properties that are producing a lot of garbage, that may include people with diapers, that may include people with lots of animals that produce a lot of pet waste that don't have other options to dispose of them. We're really saying, yes, you're creating that waste, but should we be subsidizing it? And I think that's a difficult decision for politicians like yourself to look at. From us on our side, generally charging people for garbage is safe and effective in terms of allowing people to make decisions. And that might be cloth diapers. It might be, I've helped people design dog poo digesters on their own property where dog waste can be kept on the property in a little hole in the ground. And it just works by breaking down naturally into the soil. There are methods to reduce that, but where people decide, hey, I need to put it in the garbage, then yeah, we are asking people to pay more. And a tag-a-bag sticker is $2.50 for an entire bag of garbage. We are subsidizing that. The District of Summerland barely covers its tipping fees. It doesn't cover the collection of the bag. It doesn't cover some of the other, even the printing of the stickers. We are subsidizing garbage now. So if people need more garbage, yes, we want to subsidize them. When I've spoken to other programs, they've said repeatedly, give people reasonable options for more garbage. And if people want to drive up to the landfill, it's $5 to enter the facility now with a few bags of garbage. They can use a tag-a-bag sticker for $2.50. Or they can upsize their garbage cart. If they know they're going to have consistently a lot of garbage, and that might be a big family, like say you have multi-generational family, or you have a lot of people staying with you, and you know it's going to be consistent over the entire year, upsizing your cart makes a lot of sense. We do want to also caution people, though, you shouldn't be putting recycling or other materials into your garbage that aren't garbage. There are many methods to reduce the amount of garbage that we're seeing. And like I said, about 70% of the materials we're seeing in an average garbage can are fully compostable or fully recyclable. That might mean going up to the depot. So if you have a lot of plastics, for example, and those flexible plastics add up, place them inside one big flexible plastic bag, bringing them up to the depot once a month, or we do 3 times a year, depots down at the curling rink. That's the best way for you to reduce the amount of volume of garbage going into your garbage. There are methods that people can try. When other communities have done this, what they told me was there'll be 3 months of people being very upset before and after, but then people get incredibly used to it, and it's the new normal. This is not something that people have been left out in the cold on. We understand people may be producing more garbage. So we do encourage people to use tag-a-bags to either come to our landfill, which is about 7 or 8 minutes from downtown, or to get a larger garbage cart, and that is available. And we have those available for people to rent. There is a higher cost, though, because garbage costs us lots and lots of money. Whereas, again, composting saves us money, and we get paid for recycling. There isn't free garbage out there, and we need to incentivize people on that, because as we fill up our landfill, there's millions of dollars at stake. And if we don't think about how best to manage these materials, these useful compostable materials or recyclable materials, and people just continue to throw them in the garbage, it's really not benefiting Summerland.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's about finding that balance. And as you say, you know, dealing with garbage is expensive. And I think the message or the principle is that residents who do recycle and minimize their waste shouldn't have to subsidize neighbors who produce a lot more of it. So that's kind of the principle. And reducing garbage that goes to our landfill, that'll help control operating costs, which benefits everybody. And it'll help extend the life of our landfill, because we know having to close a landfill and open a new one is quite an onerous process and very costly, and we want to put that off for as long as possible. So there's those benefits as well for this program.
Yeah, and I think you spoke about some of the methane considerations there. So yeah, food waste in a landfill, when it's deprived of oxygen and covered in water, will create methane. And methane, again, as you said, is a very powerful greenhouse gas and very dangerous. We also see that, yeah, the dollars and cents of it, we are perched above your main drinking water reservoir. You cannot think that we can get away with having a dump up there. We have to run a very good landfill. We have to line everything. And those liners cost $1 million per extension. Like, we're looking at multiple millions of dollars to keep this landfill operating in the area that it's in. We need to think very carefully about how much garbage we put in there, because the faster it fills up, there are demonstrable costs, like in the next 10 years, that will be in the millions of dollars for us to continue operation. Like, when we look at the cost per ton for garbage in Summerland, it's about $250 per ton for us to bury garbage. That's very high. The main reason for that is that we're the same type of landfill as the other landfills in the area, but we have a much smaller population. Campbell Mountain services about 50,000 people. Glenmore Landfill services well over 100,000. We service the 12,000 people within Summerland. And that's an important service that we provide, and it's essential that we do it right. And we're only charging our tipping fees at $125 per metric ton right now. So there's a big subsidy that people are paying towards garbage in this community to keep this landfill open. So where we're looking at savings is how do we extend the existing areas that we have so we don't have to expand the landfill, put down new liners, close areas of the landfill, spend lots more money on the capital costs up at this facility. And by extending what we have today, we can defer those costs. And by deferring costs, it saves money because you're spending more time on the capital that you already have. It's a good return on investment. It just makes dollars and cents. Like, it's not just about the environment. And I've talked to a lot of people that the environment isn't the thing that really makes them get up in the morning. They're concerned about dollars and cents. This is a dollars and cents program that is also helping the environment. And that's the beauty of the program and the benefit of the program for Summerland.
Yeah. And so so there's the garbage side and the landfill, but there's also the composting side, and we're able to produce this compost. But I guess one thing we need to make sure is that we aren't putting any contaminants into that yard waste, those green waste bins, because that's going to contaminate the compost that we're able to produce.
There's a cute picture that we put out as a postcard, and it's my little nephew, and he's shown in front of a big plate of garbage. Food waste makes compost, compost makes food. If you pollute the food scraps you're putting out to the curb with plastics or other materials, then that goes into your food. That's something people need to realize. We're trying to connect everything. We're trying to make a circular economy where the materials that we can compost will go back to the local community to create food. And that might be some your neighbor's garden, but it might be an agricultural producer that you go to the farmer's market and buy. So those pollutants or other materials you put into your food scraps are important. People are selling bags that say compostable that are plastic. Unfortunately, those plastic compostable bags don't work in our program. They just don't break down effectively. And under BC regulations, they don't allow us to do it. It's very clear in the regulations, we are not allowed to accept compostable plastics into our program. So we're asking that all plastics, including compostable plastics, not be placed out in your food scraps collection. Many people were kind of confused when we gave out free bags as part of our education program. You don't have to use bags. You can use newspaper if you want to use a liner. Or you don't use a liner and you can use yard waste. So some people may have extra leaves on their property and they can place those leaves at the bottom of their cart and place their food scraps in there. I also freeze my food scraps. So I have a solid mass that when I bring it out to the curb, I can place it directly in my yard waste container. And yeah, it works great. I'll also say one of the other things I'm hearing a lot about is people are saying, well, why are you giving us these big yard waste containers that we're only going to put food scraps in the wintertime? Right now, it's really busy at the landfill. We have so much yard waste coming into our facility. So we give these larger carts for yard waste because this time of year, people need it. And in the wintertime, it might look a little bit silly with having like a little bag or a little container of food scraps going into this big cart. But we need that cart for the springtime. And right now, we're seeing a lot of materials coming in. It is really hard to compost. It's a full-time job for us.
I guess it wouldn't make sense to switch carts, you know, winter and summer. It's cheaper just to have the same cart.
It's going to look ridiculous in the wintertime. Yeah. We know this. Yeah. It's every community, the same complaints come in November. Like, why do I have this big cart when I'm just putting food scraps in there? Well, it's because in March and April, you're probably filling it up.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now. We see a lot of yard waste with food waste scraps already coming in. And we're happy to receive those food scraps and yard waste right now.
Yeah.
But the less garbage we get in there, the better. And that's really a big thing that we're asking Summerlanders to think about is remove the stickers. It's a weird little thing to think about, but produce stickers are not compostable. They are recyclable. You can bring them up to the landfill to our flexible plastics program or wait for one of our three depots at the arena. And you can recycle them, but they are not compostable. So if you can't recycle them, place them in the garbage. We really don't want those small stickers or elastic bands or even like a cucumber, like the cellophane that goes around it. Those should really be washed and recycled or washed and thrown in the garbage.
Yeah, you know, I spent probably 20 years as a parent trying to convince my children to take the stickers off the bananas peels before they threw it in the compost, and with mixed results. So I know that's going to be a big challenge, and it's really important. You know, in BC, between the federal and provincial governments, regional districts, municipalities, and local First Nations together, we have invested $30 million to keep organic waste out of landfills and to increase the organic composting facilities through the funding program that we receive for our composting facility. And, you know, to think that the process could all be hindered, you know, by the difficulty of screening out things like plastic bags and non-biodegradable plastic stickers that they put on the fruit and vegetables. I mean, when these end up in curbside collection bins, it's a real problem. So our council, Summerlin Council, is bringing forward a resolution to the Southern Interior Local Government Association's annual convention in May. We're bringing a resolution that asking the federal and provincial governments to ban non-biodegradable plastic produce stickers and approve an alternate method for displaying those price lookup codes. And if that resolution is supported, then it'll go to the Union of BC Municipalities for support from all local governments in BC. So that's something we're trying to address at the political level, because we know they cause problems for everybody.
Yeah, we're actually doing a fun thing with the schools, right, that we'll be doing in April, called the Banana Sticker Bounty. And we'll be providing mainly the elementary schools. We're hoping to get some other schools involved as well in Summerland. But they'll be given sheets of paper to collect stickers. So we're asking the kids to collect stickers from vegetables and from fruits, place it on the sticker, and the class that collects the most per student, the most stickers, we're going to give them a voucher for a pizza party.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think kids are the secret, eh? They can teach the parents sometimes.
It's fun, and we're just trying to make it fun. We have some cartoons that we got developed for this. So our Banana Sticker Bounty will be rolling out in April. And then once the end of Earth Week hits, then that'll be the end of the contest, and we'll award to the class. So each school that participates will be the winning class. So we'll have sort of a running tally of how many stickers they collect. But you'll be surprised. Like, I know in my house, I probably collect 2 or 3 a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm just my wife and I. Like, I don't know. But imagine if you have a big family, how many stickers you're collecting from your tomatoes or your oranges or your bananas. And those add up. And if we can collect them and keep them out of our compost and just get people in the habit of removing them and either place them into, like, you can just put them onto one of your flexible plastic bags you might have that you're going to bring up to our recycling depot. Place it on there and they'll get recycled.
Right.
Or if you need to, place it in the garbage.
Right.
But please don't place it into our green carts.
Okay, so we're running out of time, but I just want to touch on, and you know, one of the other benefits of collecting this mixed kitchen and yard waste is that we're able to produce this high quality compost that's full of nutrients and microbes and that will be available for everybody in the community. So it'll benefit local vegetable gardens and farmers and you know, so I think that's something a lot of people are looking forward to.
Yeah. Right now, all we have on stock is yard waste that we've composted over the winter. We are in our biosolids compost, which is coming from the wastewater treatment plant in Summerlin that we've created now for decades. But yeah, this new food waste stream will allow us to create another type of compost that we'll probably have available as soon as this fall, and that will provide people options. And some people do not want to have wastewater treatment sludge or biosolids in their compost, and that's reasonable. They could have any reason for it. And so we're going to try to give them some options locally, and they can use that material safely in their garden. I believe also the biosolids and materials that we create, that we compost on site, is also safe for gardens as well. The main issue with compost is don't use too much. Any type of compost can bring in salts or other issues. So generally, understanding how to compost, it's an effective tool to put in like a 1/4 inch or 1/2 inch on your lawns or something similar in your garden beds. Compost is great, but it really adds life to your soil. This is a great time of year to apply really finished compost. And in the fall, when we have more compost available, is actually the best time to actually add it to your beds. a lot of people don't do this, but late fall, apply your compost, and by the springtime, the rains, the snow, the bugs have incorporated all that beautiful material into your soil column, and then you have really rich soil for the springtime to do your planting. So now's a great time to apply compost, but the fall is the best time. So hopefully we'll have some of that food-based compost available this fall, and people can purchase it from our Summerland landfill.
That's great. You know, we are an agricultural region, and we're a community full of passionate gardeners. So I think a made-in-Summerland soil amender will be in high demand. With that, I think we've run out of time. So thank you, Cameron, for joining me today to talk about changes being made to our curbside waste collection program. And just, you know, I'd like everybody to remember that food scraps now go in with your yard waste in the green carts, which we will be collecting every week year-round. The garbage and blue recycling carts will now be collected on alternating weeks. I am Summerland Mayor Doug Holmes, and you have been listening to the Mayor's Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.